Well, before we begin, I did want to make mention of one thing. I know from time to time, different ones will ask us with our Vacation Bible School about different ways to come alongside and help leading up to it. As we normally do, we have a sign-up sheet in the back for some different things for the snack time and some of the time with the children that if you so feel led, you can take a look there. There's different things that can be brought in closer to that time of VBS if you'd like to come alongside in that way. So if you have any questions, you can see my mother-in-law, Diane, my wife, Savannah. You can ask me, but you're going to get a better answer from the two of them. So, if you could look with me in Jeremiah 29. There's a verse that we know quite well, I trust, in verse 11. And, when I think about really the heart that that a mom would want for their child is really encaptured within this. It is a desire for their life. Verse 11, that I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Well, there's only one that's found in, and that's the one who's declaring it. And so one of the greatest things, the greatest thing we begin to do, Pastor Josh talked about a way to honor moms from the perspective of really putting the Lord first and living for Him and honoring Him. One of the greatest things as a parent that we can begin to do is to point our children towards the one who can give them these things. The one who actually holds these things in his hands and loves them enough to see that through. And then to begin to entrust them with him. In chapter 1, Jeremiah, you begin to have God talking directly with Jeremiah. And he says in verse 4, he says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," that's to Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." There's even someone that knows him longer than we do as parents, than you do as moms, or we as dads. There's someone that knew him even before then. It says, "And before you were born, I consecrated, I set you apart. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, sometimes we can easily fall into this thought in verse 6, where we begin to say to God, "Look, I don't even know how to speak. I'm just a youth." And we begin to come up with all these reasons that perhaps God wouldn't use us in the body in a certain way. But what do all those things begin to have in common? That would be our own power and our own strength, our own abilities. But that's never what's going to begin to cause us to be strengthened into what God has called us to do. The Lord responds instead, he goes, "Don't say that I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. All that I command you, you shall speak, and do not be afraid of them." Of course, we know Jeremiah was going into a very hostile situation to begin to portray and proclaim these things of the Lord. Why does he not have to feel that way? Well, look there in verse 8, "I am with you to deliver you." You go down further at the end of verse 9, he says, "Behold, I've put my words in your mouth. I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms." It was never going to be Jeremiah's strength or his own wisdom outside of the Lord that was ever going to equip him, that was ever going to strengthen him. It's one of the things as parents that we go, we've got to trust the one who actually can equip them for just how he's called them for where he would have them go. One of the things that of the last time I had offertory, I brought my mother-in-law up and we were sharing about how the Lord began to burden you in teaching and made it just clear in how he was going to use you within the body. I wanted to call up, funny enough, Jeremiah. Not this Jeremiah, I'm not doing that, but our own Jeremiah. And as I started thinking back just on you through the years, Jeremiah, and I might cry. Oh, no. I was thinking about it this week, but there was actually, when I first started teaching, you and I were like the same height. That was not in the 4-7 class, by the way, just in case anybody to take that joke out of there. You were in the youth. He was a teenager, barely. But I just remember there were certain points in there. And the youth was pretty large when you first came in, but there was a point that it ended up, it was just you for a season of time, and you got to be with us at the house. And I just remember you and I talking about the Lord, talking about the different passages we were working through. I said, the Lord's weaving a heart in this young man for the body and for his word, and to begin to share that with different ones that would come up behind. It's like he just began to mature you through those years and really preparing you. And I remember it was, how long have you been teaching with the youth? About 3 years now? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
3 years. Yeah.
I felt like it was right about 3 years. And we had, of course, you and Sarah had been teaching with the young ones for a while there, kind of rotating through in there. And we had had an opportunity and a need with the youth, the teens within the church. And I remember we had a few different men within the body were kind of filling in there. And you were the last one of the few that was filling in. And I remember you and I had talked, and there was different things, and I'll let you share, but there was different things you were kind of wrestling through, and, you know, the timing and the Lord equipping you for that. But there just began to be a resolve at a certain point that you really knew what the Lord had for you and where he had for you to serve in that way. And so how did that go about in your heart and mind with the Lord?
Well, I'll start off first, and I only say this partly as joking, but other part is serious in giving glory and honor to God in this, and that if I was not born in the family I was born in, I would not have ever stepped foot in church. I could tell you that for a fact. And the Lord just knew, okay, well, I'm going to put you here because you're not going to have a choice. And
it's like he knew you before you were
it's
even
like
in the
he
womb.
Knew me yeah. before I was even born. And like I said, I joke about that, but I give all glory and honor to God in that because he knew exactly what I needed for this. And the Lord had burdened my heart, you know, to be a part of the church in some way, serving, teaching. I just didn't know quite how it was going to work out. And like you said, through the different times, there didn't seem like there was going to be opportunity for that. And I was like, okay, Lord, well, you're going to show me what you want me to do. And then I wasn't leaning towards teaching, especially standing up in front of people.
Counseling was kind of on your
counseling, part. You know, so where I wouldn't be up in front of people, it would be a little bit easier to do. And so I was starting to go in that direction. And the Lord led me away from that. And then, like you said, there were several different people going into it where you're like, hey, we would rotate. You know, you do it once a month and another person once a month. I was like, okay, I can do that. So then that's when I was like, all right, we're going to go with that. And you were like, hey, no, you're going to do this like every Wednesday. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, and that's where, like you said, it has to be the Lord giving you the strength. That's definitely something I would have never chosen. It's something I could not have ever done on my own. And like 1 Peter 4 will say, each one of you has been given a gift. Use it for the Lord. And, you know, something else I want to say on that, this is just something I personally learned through this, is that, you know, you think by serving God, you're doing God a favor. You're not doing God a favor. It's a privilege to serve him. First Chronicles 29, when David is talking to the Lord, we give willingly because everything is yours. We are completely yours. There's nothing that we have that you don't have. And so to not be wanting to serve the Lord in some way, it doesn't have to be teaching. And whatever you've been given, we've been going through Matthew, and one of the stories is the parable of the talents. Each one's been given a different portion. What are you going to do with what God's given you? He's not expecting you and all of us, thank goodness, to be Billy Grahams. Don't know how we would all do that. But in each part of our lives, and especially mine, what am I going to do with what he's given me? And there are times that, yeah, I don't want to do it. I go, Lord, I don't want to do this today. And he goes, too bad. You know, you're doing it for me. You love me. And ultimately, that's what you have to come back to, is I do this because I love him, and there isn't a greater, you know, God that he's the only God there, but there isn't anybody greater that we could do it for. So
over this time, what are some things, is there something the Lord's really impressed on your heart for the young people? in teaching, that you would want them to know, having been in that same season here in the church?
I think, and kind of be careful how I say this, I think growing up, like you said, we had a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And going forward, a lot of people made their own decisions to go their different ways. The Lord is good in that. He knows what each one needs, and I'm convinced, especially if they've been here, that He's going to bring them back because they know the truth. But, you know, for the young people, I would say, you know, especially growing up in the church, because this was one of the things I struggled with, was what's out there? You know, I've grown up in the church. I've been sheltered from, obviously, you know, working everything, I haven't, but growing up in the church, you go, okay, well, everything else seems much better out there, and it's not. And all you have to do, and that's one of the reasons I went through the different books, for instance, Judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, what does that look like? Probably our world today. And what it shows is Scripture gives us that example of what happens when we choose our own path and we stray away from the Lord. If God is everything perfect and loving and pure, and you reject that, you embrace everything opposite of that. And there is no other way but Him. And so the hardest part to get through a young person, even mine, our heads is, you know, God loves you, and He wants nothing but the best for you. Yeah. And so that's where my heart was in going through that portion of the different books that we've been going through, like I said, including Judges and 2 Samuel, you know, where power corrupts. Mm-hmm. When you're younger, and teenagers, you want to make decisions on your own, but you're starting to think, okay, well, I know everything. Well, you don't know everything. And then, okay, now that I know everything, I've done everything right in my own eyes. Where does that lead me? And then, of course, once you realize that that's the world's kingdom, we've been going through Matthew, what does God's kingdom look like? And so that's really been my heart's desire for them. It's just to show them, before you hit the consequences, because I remember talking to the Lord about this, certain circumstances had come up, trials, in my life, and I was going, you know, I can either learn the hard way, or I can do it the easy way and just listen to Him, and I'll be taken care of. Yeah, I think I'll take the easy way. And it was God's graciousness to put me through those times to bring me to that point. But you know, He's just loving, like you said, He knows exactly what we need. So thanks, man.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt the Lord's put clear conviction on His heart. Yeah. And that's my encouragement to us as a body, is if in fact you've given your life to Jesus Christ and He's placed you within this body, He has a particular ministry for you within the body. As we looked the last time I was at Offertory in that 1 Corinthians 12, there's different parts, the hands, the feet, the eyes. God's ordained you as a specific part of this body. Begin talking to the Lord in that same way. He'll give you that clear direction. He'll give you that clear conviction. And as we read in the text, He's going to strengthen you. He's going to equip you. We can get into thinking, well, I'm not up for that, or I can't do that, or I can't do this. You're right, you can't. But you're not the one that equips to serve within the body. It's Him. So if I can encourage you, if in fact you don't feel that you have that clear direction from the Lord, begin to bring these things to Him. Ask Him, as Jeremiah said, it may be teaching, it may not be teaching. But there is a way in which God has so desired to make you a part of this family. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You today, we thank You for, Lord, Your incredible love for us, and that You would know us even before time began, before we were ever in the womb. Lord, You have a plan for us. And Lord, we're just so thankful that it's not up to our own strength or wisdom, Lord, because we know how lacking we are. But Lord, that we can just trust You, we can seek You, and You will guide and direct our hearts and minds exactly where You have us. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that confidence that we can find in only You. We give You thanks for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice.